B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, Celtics, they got the win last night in Cleveland. They took care of business after losing the game this past Saturday night, but they got 23 points from Jason Tatum last night, and they went 98-92. Robert Williams, though, he felt a sharp pain in his knee. He did not play in the second half. Celtics will continue their road trip. They'll be in Atlanta this Wednesday night. On Thursday night football, it was the 49ers over the Rams, 31-10. Jimmy Garoppolo with two touchdown passes in the win for San Francisco. Patriots and Falcons play this Thursday night. The injury report is out. Damian Harris, Gunnar Olszewski, and Josh Uche all did not participate, while plenty of others were limited at practice. Headlines, they are brought to you by IBEW Local 103 and NECA, the power professionals. Power your next project on career and trained electricians and technicians of IBEW Local 103 and NECA. Visit the103advantage.com. I'm Joe Murray. Your next update is in 30 minutes.
Zolak. Yeah, he's got a big chance to be everything.
Bertrand.
Oh, no, you're into the pedicures there.
Hardy.
You can't tell who touched it last.
And you.
David.
Which David are you talking to?
Zolak.
Middays on 98.5.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
People need to chillax.
Mike Francis appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
That's great job. Rock and roll.
I felt that's a great job. That's a great job all the way across the board. Good week. Played the game the way we wanted to play it. Definitely the most physical team. How about three drives over 90 yards? All right, look, it's Wednesday night. We got a really short week here. We need everybody ready to go. And then we're on to Atlanta. We got to put this one in the rearview mirror quickly, but it's a hell of a job, fellas.
We are all members of one body. This team is one body. We're at our best when each member is doing their design job. One team, one body now. How we feel about that body now?
The human centipede.
One, that's three humans, one body.
Well, have you seen the second one?
That was about 50 humans, one body. And then the third one, it was an entire Texas prison worth of bodies that made one human centipede.
Did you see the second one?
I saw the second one. The third one, I think, is one of these that always makes these worst movies of all times list. I'm not 100% certain that was ever released.
Because the second one... Hey, well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. We're the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studio, 617-779-0985. Because I've seen bits and pieces of the first one, and I read something recently about disturbing films, and they said the second one, the guy kind of was like, oh, you didn't like the first one? You thought it was a little too cute for you? Yeah. Well, here we go.
Well, that was all three of them. He tried to up the ante. Now, the first human centipede is actually a... dare I say, an okay horror movie?
But they don't show, according to what and what I've seen, it's not like exceptionally graphic.
No. As a matter of fact, it's just about this really weird dude who is like this German. They cast a really good bad guy. He's like this weird German doctor who wants to do this experiment where he gets three people and tapes them together to where, you know, one end feeds another one's face and all that stuff. So you know how the human centipede works. And he sews them together. But you don't really see much. And it's actually a kind of a weird one-off, not great film, but it's not bad. The second one, it was just like, all right, let's just do every taboo and try to just... I mean, it's almost like they wanted to come out with a shock stick and, like, you know, poke you while you're in the theater.
So I guess the guy's thinking going into the film was, all right, well, you gave me a lot of crap for not... no pun intended. You gave me a lot of crap for not you know, showing enough in the first one. Well, here you go.
Yeah,
I'll make it. If you want to see how the sausage is made, here you go.
They found this really creepy dude. It's all done in black and white. I think because it would have been X if they didn't do it in black and white. For some reason. So they found this really creepy dude who played like a parking lot attendant who's obsessed with the movie The Human Centipede and actually sets up a fake movie audition for the actress who was in the first one. And so she returns thinking that she's in some big movie, but he ends up getting a bunch of other people and then turns like 30 different people into a human centipede. And then worse things even happen, believe it or not, than that. And it's one of those you're just like, all right, why am I watching this? But then the third one, as you said, it's like, oh, you didn't think that was gross enough. There was this one, it's about a Texas prison in which this guy can't get his prisoners to stop acting up and rioting. So he saw the movie, The Human Centipede. It's all a reference to the first movie. And he says, all right, well, we need some law and order here. And he decides to take the whole entire prison population and turn them into like a 400-person human centipede. Now, that's one of those movies, as I said, is always talked about as being one of the worst of all time. I don't think it's ever been released. I've seen the trailer for it.
Yeah, I've never read about it. I just read about the first and second.
Sure. Well, the second one I actually saw in a theater by myself.
Was that the one you saw in like the room with like the folding chairs?
Yeah, no. That's Zoo that I saw, the one folding chairs. Yeah, no. But I did see this one at a theater by myself because I went to a screening because we were talking about it. And it's one of those just like, all right, why am I here? This is all right.
Yeah.
I get what you're trying to do. It's like, ooh, you're shocking us. Shock for the sake of shock isn't good. Like if it's like genuinely weird, like I love that stuff. Like that, like if you get like David Lynchy or, you know, I like that. But this was just like, all right, dude, I get it. Yeah, you're the spookiest.
Yeah.
And this guy, this director, like wears like a cowboy hat and tries to, you know, he's one of these dudes. He's like a prop comic.
Okay. Which was the sewing together. Well, you had a good idea.
Well, as I said, the first one was okay. Because it was just so strange. Like, all right, well, that's a good concept for a movie. Twisted, but good.
Yeah. So that's just what Matthew Slater sounds like. Yeah. We're one
bite. Ah, how do we feel about
tasting
the sweet nectar of victory?
We're all one body.
One body.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel well yesterday. It's food poisoning, whatever. I was up all night, and then I got the cold sweats and everything. And that's the thing about coming in at this early in the morning is that you kind of got to make a decision at that point. And I'm like, I'm not fainting at work.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah, especially now. Don't be doing that.
No. And so and it's funny because my mom. So I've called. That's the third time I've called in sick this year, and my mom always will call and go like, "You weren't on the air today," which I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, but she's like, calls me and she's like, "You weren't on the air," and I go, "Yeah, you know, I felt sick. I had, you know, cooked and maybe I didn't cook the food right for whatever reason. I was up all night with stomach stuff, and then." I got up to go to work, and then I woke up my wife, and I said, you know, oh, boy, man. I'm like, feel my head, and I was, like, super cold and sweaty and stuff. And then that reminded me of the time I fainted, and I'm like, I don't know, like, dehydrated or exhausted or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
yeah.
like, I was like, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to go. It's for the best. It's the day after. There was many factors. It's the day after a big win. What the hell do you need me here for? And then, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to faint at work. I didn't want to faint, which is what it happened to me. I didn't miss any work, but what happened to me, like a month ago, I like fainted.
I thought it was because you couldn't face the music that Mike White too is a failure for the Jets.
Yeah, I never saw that coming, and so it seems like that was a can't miss prop.
I love how, I mean, before the game, Fred, I don't know if you saw all the writing, but there were writers who were just like, listen, I know that Zach Wilson's the future, but Josh Rosen was the future at one point. They started naming all of these like first round picks that ended up failing.
It's the NFL. It's the twists and turns of the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
There is, and there'll be plenty of time to talk about. I mean, you think people overreact after games? Well, they do. And so anyway, so my mom calls in like I expect it. And so I answer the phone and she's like, and I tell her what happened. And she goes, well, what did you do yesterday? And I said, I watched football. And she goes, "Well, what'd you do? What'd you do? I licked toilets, Mom. Like, what did I do? Like, why don't you investigate? Get to the heart of it. What did I do? I went to a slaughterhouse and just started picking out on raw meat. Like,
right.
like, what are you accusing me of something? Oh, I was smoking crack all day, Mom. It was the craziest. It was, I'm out of control. Didn't you read the paper?
Sure. I shared a dirty needle with a couple friends.
Yeah, it was in the paper. You didn't read about it? Like, and I'm like, Mom, I've called in sick. First of all, you knew about one of them before I even called in sick. I've called in sick three times this year. In the last one was a while ago. I'm like, this isn't some, like, what are you talking? This isn't a pattern. Like, it, and usually the audience is on my ass because, like, oh, Fred did it, but that didn't happen this time. And it was my mom. And I'm like, get out, stop bothering. And I ended up, get out, I'll talk to you later. What'd you do yesterday? What'd you do? And she wasn't insinuating, like, I was partying or anything. She was just like, needed to investigate. Like, she could get to the bottom of, like, why my stomach. I go, you know what? Stephanie hasn't been to work in 3 months. Like, people don't go into work. Like, I'm sorry, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. People on the show get sick. People, I mean, like, Jesus Christ, Mom.
What'd you do? Something responsible.
Like, yeah, I'm a human being. When I got up when I was supposed to get up. I sat down. I tried to eat something. I can't believe I have to explain myself. I could see, like, if you're you're missing work all the time and you're late or like da 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 da. I haven't been late a year and a half, which is no great shakes, but it just is. It's not a big deal, but it just is a fact. And why I'm a person. People get sick. Jesus Christ. I don't know where she's coming from with it, or she's still afraid because when I got real sick in high school with the stomach thing, I don't know what her deal is, but...
She's a mom, you know?
I don't know, but it's real annoying, and it's real annoying when you still don't feel that great, and you're sitting on the couch,
sure.
And there's just this barrage of questions. What'd you do yesterday?
Well, that's one of those times where you just text back. You don't answer the phone. You just text back. I'm sick.
I appreciated that she called, yeah. And I thought I'd answer the phone. My bad. She's usually not like that, but this job is different, man. I mean, people call in sick all the time. People don't go into work all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, just it's the third time. It's almost the end of the year. We're a week away from Thanksgiving. Leave me alone.
I think my family members used to like feign that they didn't listen, but they would listen. Like, I know that, like, every once in a while they'd say, you know, they would say, well, I don't get to hear it. And then they would just name something random that I spoke about. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess you don't listen, do you?
Oh, yeah. My mom's called before and said, like, why weren't you on the show today? And I'd be like, I was on the show. And then I'll be like, what'd you hear? And she's like, you know, heard the Ainge interview or something. And I'm like, well, yeah, for the 5 minutes you listened, I didn't talk. So, but then what'd you do yesterday? Oh, Mom, well, you should have been there. It was really something else. It was. You don't think you would have heard about it?
It's one of those nude COVID raves.
Yeah, I was shooting up. It was a whole thing. Like, come on, man. And then she, like, doesn't understand. Like, I don't feel good. Like, stop bothering me. Like, I don't feel good.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't feel good.
I'm straight to voicemail when I'm sick.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I get it. And, like, when there's a pattern, I get it. But, like, man, if you're every 4 months calling sick, one day, I mean, come on. Like, just because I'm on the radio doesn't make it any different than any other job. I mean, people here miss, but calling sick, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, it wasn't even the thing where it wasn't even something where I could have gone, well, I can broadcast from home. No, that wouldn't have been good either because I would have sounded awful. Because I considered at a point going, well, maybe if I broadcast it from home.
Dude, if you got the chills, no.
Yes,
what are you
I know,
doing?
Yeah, I know, no. I know. But you don't understand the aggravation. And so I was like, but then I'm like, no, because I would be horrible on the air. And then it becomes that thing like, if you're delirious on the air, Lord knows what you'd say, and I don't need, no one needs
no,
that.
No, no.
It's a day.
What are you doing?
It's a day. Mm-mm. So, Jesus Christ with my mom. Ugh. All right. Well, I heard some, I slept during this show, but I heard some of the other shows yesterday, and people are very excited, which makes me very excited. Mm-hmm. Because the twists and turns of the season make me... Dan said something to me about it, too, before the show. The twists and turns of the season. I had people on Twitter telling me Mac Jones is the, you know, next Tom Brady. And
it's like a parade and, yesterday, all day. Even through the afternoon
show. It was tough to say many things critical of the team after the way that they played.
Yeah, well, you
it
know
was
what?
An all-around excellent
the,
performance.
The Rams don't stand a chance. No, the team played great.
The Rams looked awful yesterday.
I know, but what do you think? The Rams aren't going to be a Super Bowl contender?
I do now. OBJ is the infection in the locker room. It shows up and it's over. They did it to themselves.
And Kansas City looks dead in the water, as we all were saying, and now they're a horse. All right, Rich, but there is a Joe Murray is here today.
Hi.
Because I guess young John Wallach was at the in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah, so we got to talk about this weird. I don't remember this ever happening in a way. Two games in a row, like the Celtics just had with Cleveland. That is strange. Like it was funny. We were talking about. I thought Wallach. I was like yesterday morning. Like, why is Wallach out? They just played in Cleveland, and I know they're playing Cleveland again. I thought it was a home and home. I was like, no, it's two nights in a row in Cleveland. So
with a night off in between,
with a night off, no, just, with two nights off in between. It was Friday and Monday night.
Oh, I thought it was Saturday.
Oh, no, it was Saturday.
Oh, was it Saturday? Oh, for some reason, I thought it was Friday. Okay. Yeah. So with a night off in between, you had two games at Cleveland. I don't remember that ever happened.
Last year with the NHL schedule, and they would play like two games.
You know, yeah.
Two
now that sets. I get, but this
was COVID
this
related.
Non COVID.
This is just odd.
Yeah. This is just a weird schedule.
Yeah. So Wallach was there, and he's heading back, I'm sure. But we have.
Oh, I guarantee he's on a plane right now. Johnny Wall game likes to get up and get out.
moving.
Yeah, the Wall man's got to move.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to hang around in Cleveland longer than I had to anyway.
Cleveland's, if you're downtown, Cleveland's pretty nice. Plenty of things to eat, plenty of things to do, but it's not like John's going to do any of them. So, but no, he's one of these 6 a.m. flight guys, which you'll never understand, but there he goes. All right, we'll have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Talking about the game is no game.
You are listening. You are enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
All right, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going down?
Well, at least there was a silver lining to having to play back-to-back games in Cleveland.
Schroeder, hard to the basket, over Wade, makes the shot, scooped it home left-handed.
And what he does so well is clever. Schroeder gets by you, grabs your leg, and you're not able to move.
Johnny Wall game on the broadcast last night. Well, after an ugly loss to the Cavaliers on Friday, the Seas get an ugly win in the same place last night. 98-92, the final score. It was a game that had a halftime tally of 39-37. So if you wanted action, boy, did you get it yesterday. Scoring has become an issue for Jason Tatum. This is by far the longest offensive slump he has been in. Last night, he scored 23, but 7 of those were free throws, and he was just 2 of 11 outside the paint. It has been tough to watch at time, but Horford, he's been an excellent signing. You want to talk about a move that has just gone under the radar for these guys. He had 17 points, 9 rebounds, but the thing that is saving the team's ass lately has been their defense.
Garland to the basket, rejected by Richardson. Run out the other way for Tatum all the way through, throws it down with two hands.
It seemed like this is the only thing Tatum is getting involved in, these breakout baskets where he has the foot speed getting in front of everybody.
Tatum's second made shot of the first quarter, 22-16.
Now, say what you will, but ever since Marcus Smart went nuts at post game, the team has been excellent on the defensive side of the ball. As a matter of fact, Gary Washburn this morning wrote that over the last seven games, Boston has surrendered just 97 points per 100 possessions. What that means is that they are the top-ranked unit in the NBA over that time, almost 3 points better than the next closest team, Golden State, and it has made all of the difference. If you're not going to be scoring, and Jason Tatum has definitely been in a slump, and if you're not going to have Jaylen Brown on the court, you better stop the other team, and they've been doing a pretty good job of that. Here is Ime afterwards.
Defense has been a constant for the most part. First 10 games, we really felt like we got to where we needed to be. Still can grow in that area, but offensively is kind of the focus now to shift and see how we can score more than 98 because we're holding teams under 100, like you said.
And even though Jason Tatum knows he's in a funk, yesterday he addressed his slump in really the most energetic way possible.
It's going to come. I haven't doubted myself, not once. Just got to keep working at it, you know, keep watching film, keep shooting. I'll figure it out. And in the meantime, you know, just keep trying to find ways to help us win games.
When you watch Jason Tatum do post game, like last night he had his head in his hands as if he was just going to go to sleep right there at the podium. Is he the sleepiest post game interview in sports?
Did you see Westbrook when he was on the phone? Like, Westbrook did it like on the phone. And I've never, and now it's just like, oh, I hope the Lakers just are awful with him. He was on the phone the whole time.
Oh, so, like, he was at the podium, and while they're trying to ask him questions, he was talking to somebody else?
He's texting and, like, looking down at the phone and getting, and it's only him on the podium. And he's, like, sitting there texting. And then, of course, the next day, the writers all killed him. But I don't know why a writer didn't go, like, dude, put your phone down. Yeah. Like, and then people are like, well, you know, maybe they just played a game and they don't want to be there. And the writer's like, well, maybe I don't want to stay up till 2 a.m, like writing copy for you to read.
Yeah, that's his job. Like, that's part of the gig.
Yeah, I'm not like the basketball writers aren't there going like, oh, my God, I'm in a room with Russell Westbrook. Like, you got to get your story. And the reason that the NBA requires it and the reason that these publications are in business is because people value the information. Yeah. So, I mean,
it helps grow the sport.
Yeah,
too.
It's all there for a reason. There's a lot of like fans have this attitude of like, I'll tell you what exactly what it is. So, I have a friend who played golf with a Cardinal fan. I'm a Cardinal fan. Why Mike Schilt was fired, who was, by the way, one of the top three finalists for National League Manager of the Year, he was fired. No one knows. If that's the way you want to exist and just not know what's going on with your team at all, then you don't need, then go to St. Louis where they have the Post-Dispatch and that's it. Because, I mean, there's a reason that you consume this. And if you're listening to this show and you listen to this station, you consume sports media and sports information. And, I mean, these guys, if no one pays attention to them and they just show the games and there's no talk around the games or no writing about the games, the sport will die.
Yeah, it's also a good way to market yourself when you're up there.
Well, he obviously is one of these guys who hasn't played well this year, and so he's, you know, going to be Captain Cool. And, you know, like he's above, you know, answering any of the questions.
Well, do you think Tatum's just against the whole defensive philosophy?
Against? No, he's been great. I think defensively he's been really good.
I agree with you. Every single interview he does, he's not into it.
Well, I mean, I just think that's him.
He's always been Bruno Fernando.
And I have no problem with like the star player not being a leader or anything like that. I'm fine with it.
He also doesn't seem to be off put by it. It's just he's sleepy. It's like he gets up there, he's soft spoken,
but
like, he's quiet. It's not. It's there's a difference between what he did and what Fred's talking about. Is that you don't want to be there? Yeah. That's not him. He's just sleepy.
What about
low energy?
What about like the night before or game before when he doesn't want the ball late? You know, he's like the guy who didn't get the ball. I just feel like his body language is a problem with him. His body language in general, like you have to ask for the basketball. You need to tell guys where to be. He's just, and it's fine. If he doesn't want to be that guy, that's fine. You can be the best player. But like the game before that they lost, like Schroeder shouldn't be taking that shot.
Sure.
It should be you coming off the double screen asking for the basketball.
Everyone wants an alpha. As a fan, everyone wants an alpha on their team. They want the give me the damn ball guy. Everybody wants a Paul Pierce. You're just not going to get that sometimes. Now,
Bruno Fernando on the roster? Do you like play Bruno him last night?
Does it piss me off? Yes. Do I wish that he was somebody who was on the court at least a little more enthusiastic and be to be that guy? Of course. The one thing I'll say about Jason Tatum, and I've been a critic of him for a while, not as bad as Fred, but the one thing I'll say about him is you can tell he's truly trying right now to get out of this slump. And he's and where it's made a difference is that he's realized if he's cold on one side of the ball, he has been doing well defensively.
Yeah, I think he could be a way better rebounder. He had 8 rebounds last night. But yeah, it's just when he's not the focal point of the offense, the team actually plays well. I don't know if you've noticed that. Whenever he struggled this year, the team has carried the load. But my whole thing with Tatum is, like, everyone thinks he's going to be this next star. I think he might just be what he is, and he's not a leader. And that's fine. But at times, if he's not involved in the offense, I think he checks out. And I know you're saying maybe he's not this year.
No.
I think he's working too hard on the defensive end, and that's why he's struggling defensively.
That's a real criticism. I think there's a real criticism, and you want him to be the guy. And we've seen it before. Games are usually better when Tatum's out and Jaylen's in than when Jaylen's out and Tatum's in. But, you know, I'm not going to kill him too much because you can tell it's really frustrating him, this offensive slump that he's in. But he's at least trying, like noticeably trying on the other end.
The only thing I'm happy about is there might be a team philosophy. Hey, we're going to play defense this year.
I love that philosophy.
Because, like, thank you. Philosophy in years.
If you would have told me, right, and how many games have we said, how is this team, and they're built with Marcus Smart, we've had the sales job that Marcus Smart's one of these guys. Jaylen Brown's supposed to be the lead defender.
Richardson, yeah.
And for years, we've been hearing about how these teams got the tools, but they have failed over and over and over again to be this team. That's why what I've seen over the past several games since Marcus Smart, pitched a fit, has been encouraging to me. Yeah. I've got no problem. I'm not going to kill this team too badly. I mean, it was sucked the other night the way that they lost, but that crap like that, unfortunately, is going to slip through the cracks. But as a whole, I like what I'm seeing defensively, yeah. And I've wanted them to be that team for a while now.
And Cleveland was a 9-win team. I know you look at Cleveland and say, oh, they suck, but they've had a pretty decent season.
You had a 19-point lead on Saturday night. I mean, that sucked. That was a bad loss. It was a bad, bad loss. So, and to be quite honest.
And that's on Tatum, though. Like, when you have these kind of games, you're going to want the ball and close it out. And he didn't. I do like what I've seen from Schroeder, though. I just don't want him being the guy at the end of games taking shots. Sometimes he reminds me of Rondo. When I see him play, I don't know. But just,
it's not a bad
Rondo, a little more like offensive firepower.
You're talking to the president of the Rondo fan club. I was a huge Rondo fan. I'd kill for a guy like Rondo. You want to talk about someone who cares. Rondo cares. Like that dude, even during that last year he was here, I liked him being the leader of this team. I thought he kind of set a little bit of a tone, and that stuck around for a while. And then you brought in Isaiah, and it was nice. It was nice having that kind of attitude from somebody on the team, because I don't know who you have that from right now. Even like Al Horford, who's been amazing and to be quite honest, has been the quiet leader of this team, is still a quiet leader.
Yeah.
And you don't want that as a fan. You want a Draymond Green. You want someone out there, which, by the way, Draymond Green on the Manning cast last night, busting chops.
Oh, yeah.
As they like to do. I think the Manning cast, I think last night was the first one where there were no NFL players. They're all afraid of the curse.
Yeah, there's a curse. Apparently, Mike has the Draymond Green stuff that we'll play later. But yes, there is a curse. They just showed it on TV.
It's true. It's like, if you take a look at each of the Manning casts, whatever player they had on there ended up losing the following week. Josh Allen fell off a cliff for those 2 weeks right after he did his appearance on the Manning cast.
Did Phil Mickelson get on there and talk a little Manning? Ooh, maybe this is a little better than your approach shot on 9.
I'll tell you this much, is that they had Eli go up and take a shot on one of those, digital
Sims.
Like, little Sims. And he's like, you know what? You got a lot to learn, kid. And they're like, golf jokes.
Well, I mean, that was just setting it up. And did Darius Rucker pull it, go up on the, was he on the back of the, like on the screen of the training machine? Did he just pop up and go?
It was like the toasty guy in Mortal Kombat. His head just broke down and went.
Whenever you said that, I think of Chubbs from Happy Gilmore, like with the alligator in the sky. Yeah. Every time you do that, that's what I think.
Well, just like the golf simulator, all of a sudden, Darius Rucker comes up with two thumbs up.
You made a good joke.
Yeah.
Where there are golf jokes, there is Hootie.
Yeah, I figured. And then I read this morning people were praising Mickelson on the show, and I'm like, oh, there had to have been golf jokes galore.
People love golf jokes.
Oh, yeah, gets them all riled up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he gets to give these guys the business, Because as good as you are As good as you are out there on the gridiron, let's see you go out there and break 80. Come on. Yeah, I saw you win that Super Bowl, but that put on 17 lipped out. Biggie boo boo. That stuff, you just know it's happening. You know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Oh, Fred, everyone has Patriots fever.
I'll tell you they do.
Mm-hmm. We will get to a lot of that. And Dan Roach makes Bill Belichick laugh.
Yes, I saw that. And that's all Dan really wants to do.
That's it. And really, that's why he's here for us, to make us all smile.
That's what Dan's job is just to get the guy to chuckle. And then say, all right, I've done my job. I'll see you guys later.
It's the only clip I cared about from yesterday's press conference, so Dan did it.
Yep. And, you know, Dan's there to bring a little light.
Mm-hmm.
And, as he ever. So we will have that, hear the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
By the way, real quick, I just retweeted at the @Toucher and Rich Twitter account. Last night, I guess Chara and Patrick Maroon dropped the gloves. I mean, it was right as the puck dropped. And the one thing about Chara is, you know, obviously he's, what, 44, 45 years old now. But it just doesn't matter. Like, he grabs Maroon by his sweater and, like, straight arms him. So Maroon, it's almost like that cartoon where you see the guy touching like the kid's head and he can't reach him. Like Maroon's like trying to get in there and Chara's just hitting him in the ribs and there's no possible way for Maroon to connect at all. It's not that great of a fight, but it's just one of those moments where you realize just pure physics and how the length of his arm make it possible for him to win almost any fight that is picked with him. I don't know why they dropped the gloves before the game started. I don't know what history it was, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Chara ends up winning that one just by just pure length of arm on that one and strength of being able to hold him at a distance.
Facebook had a fight come up, Hockey Night in Canada, I guess, is something they feel I'd be interested in. And it was Ron Hextall versus Andy Moog.
Oh, that was great. I remember that, dude.
And they got very, very tired. It was at the end of the game. And I just remember living down the street from Dennis Hextall and his two daughters. And Dennis Hextall, who played for the Red Wings, it was brothers with Ron Hextall.
Is it Dennis or Ron's daughter that was on Nesson for a while?
Leah,
yeah.
That's got to be Ron's because it's not Dennis's.
Yeah, she did Nesson for a little bit, and she's got some big position somewhere now. I forget where it is.
Yeah, Dennis not the nicest guy.
Oh, really?
No. I think if you played in that era, not the nicest guy on the planet.
Well, the good news
By the way, Sean Thorne joining us at 8 today.
Awesome, that's right. It'll be great to have him on. Well, the good news just won't stop for the Patriots fans. After watching the Pats dismantle Baker Mayfield and Myles Garrett, we get the fantastic news that the Pats game against the Titans on November 28th will not be flexed. That's right. It will remain at 1 p.m. Thank you, television gods. We don't need any more primetime games if we don't have to have them.
Especially if your Joe's got to do postgame.
Yeah, that's got to stink. It was funny, Fred. We talked about it because, you know, as obviously the game went very well for the Patriots. I asked Joe, I said, well, what were the post-game calls like? And he goes, they're still angry, but not at the Patriots. They were all just angry at me. They just all wanted to yell at me, and they wanted to yell at Jim.
Yeah, how do you feel about Patrice Bergeron?
They're busting his balls for his Patrice Bergeron take.
But here's the deal, as I heard it, and I heard, it's funny, I listened to New York Sports Radio yesterday. I listened to Felger and Maz. I listened to some of Zolak and Bertrand, but Zolak and Bertrand, you know, it is what it is. After a Patriots win, and Felger was like, yeah, you know, the team played great. And then I got out of the car and then like had to do something else later. And Felger already was like, all right.
Enough of the positive.
Like it's not 2001. The team was different. Yeah. And then he was asking people how old they were. They'd be like, I'm 30. And then he's like, so in 2001, you were 10. Don't tell me what happened in 2001. What I'll say about the Patriots is enjoy it. Have a great time. Yell at everyone. But then when this invariably, they lose in the first round of the playoffs or something of that nature, then you have to take it all from us.
Well, no, I think that's the expectation, right?
Well, that's what we said yesterday.
Make just a playoff game and be competitive.
Be competitive in the first playoff game.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
That's what I thought
that was the expectation yesterday.
I'm not talking about from you or from anyone at the stage.
Right. Fred, you're right, because I have some clips that we're going to play throughout the morning where I'm telling you it was a pants-off dance-off about the Patriots yesterday.
We're screaming it. You know, Felger and Maz, which is, I mean, the idea. It's not like you're hurting their feelings. I mean, that's what they want. So, but like, the thing is that, like, you can do that today, and you can do that yesterday, but when this team loses in the first round of the playoffs, if Mac, you know, has a couple games again, I mean, because people were calling in, and they were like, Mac Jones, what? And you're like, dude, he didn't play well the 2 weeks before this. You can't, like, you know, this is a trajectory that he's been on. No, it's not. And so.
See, I disagree. I think it is a trajectory. I think he did for two games play mediocre, but we saw stuff in Sunday's game that we haven't seen him do yet.
A trajectory means a line going up.
All right, so he went up, plateaued, and went back up.
Yeah.
So he hasn't gone down. So the trajectory from the beginning of the season is nothing but up.
Too. Rookie quarterback on the road.
He's a rookie quarterback. Yeah, and he's going to have to play on the road in the playoffs. So you, the way people were talking about is you've seen this coming, he had two bad games before this, and they won, and he played great against Cleveland, and celebrate. But then invariably, when your listeners' projections of, you know, Mac Jones winning, being the MVP of the playoffs and the team, you know, dancing around in Los Angeles with the Super Bowl, when this doesn't happen, you're going to have to eat a lot of crap. That's the rule. Dems the rules.
Dems the rules. I think that, Fred, that is a unrealistic, and I think a very small percentage believe that that's the case.
The week-to-week takes of the NFL are hysterical, because there was also the people of Brady's falling apart and he sucks. And look at Tampa, and you guys all thought Tampa was so good. They was champions.
I think this right here might be what you're talking about. So on all the talk shows yesterday, I think this is Ryan Clark, who's on Get Up, I think is.
Ryan Clark, who's gotten so many GM jobs.
Is this first one the one that I think it is? Let's take a listen.
When you put the film on and you start to watch him, you can tell that this guy is a cut above from the neck up, right? Mentally.
I think that's a different one. Here we go.
The Pats will go further than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh!
There you go. I said it. Since y'all want to play it. Yes, they can. They can go further, but I'm not going to say that they will, because if they will, then you got Tom Brady. And then watch the games. Mm-hmm. Like, for the greatness of Tom Brady, and you're talking about all the things that he can do, hey, Bill Belichick can too.
Yep, there you go. They're going to go further than the Bucs. Now, people did freak out about that. And by the way, in fairness, there weren't a ton of fans yesterday calling us that were that insane about it. I think more than anything, they were just happy that there is a core of three young guys that are rookies that look like they could be the future of this team. Barmore, obviously Mac Jones, and then you look at what Ramondre Stevenson, to a lesser extent because we don't have much of a sample size.
I think Bolden's better than Stevenson, but yes, Stevenson is.
I think Stevenson has a higher ceiling than Bolden.
Stevenson's a good back.
Damian Harris is. See, I think between Damian Harris and Stevenson, you have a special running back core. I mean, when's the last time the Patriots had two guys that were just like bulldozers like these two?
The special, there's guys in the league that can do that. Special is like McCaffrey. Special is Derrick Henry. I mean, these guys aren't special.
I think the two of them together to have two guys that can do that.
If they continue
with this clip.
If you play very well defensively,
And they have been.
I mean, these guys aren't, you know, breakaway stars.
As long as they don't fumble.
The ball.
But the thing is that you can. And you know, and you can tweet me, and you can go crazy about every little thing, but when ultimately what you have now predicted after week 10 does not occur, then I will do the same to you.
Yes, we will laugh at Chad Finn when they don't win the Super Bowl. He's the guy that I know who said that, and I think that he... I don't know if he truly believes that, but he definitely wrote it. Well, Bill Belichick said a lot of football stuff yesterday, but the biggest takeaway was that Dan Roach thinks Bill was wearing a super cool jacket.
Thank you. Like the jacket.
Appreciate it.
So there you go. And there was a little bit of a smile out of Bill. Like, yeah.
I think they...
Linda picked this sumbitch out.
I think they let Dan go first because they go... Because we're going to ultimately, we're not going to get to someone, so get to Dan.
No, Dan was the last one of that one. Yeah, they wanted to close it out with a bang.
Yeah, he was the closer, you're saying?
So from here on
he
out.
He headlined?
He did headline. That's right. He was at the end to leave everyone with a good taste in their mouth. But from here on out, it does feel like every remaining Patriots game is a playoff game. Because of the logjam in the AFC, it was interesting. I saw Michael Hurley break down the remaining strength of schedule for the Patriots compared to the rest of the AFC, and it's not great news, but it certainly isn't the worst. So amongst the top 12 teams in the AFC, New England has the fifth easiest remaining schedule, with their opponents having a 52% win rate. Now, two of their upcoming opponents, Tennessee and Buffalo, they're at number one and number four easiest, respectively. Tennessee, a mere 33% win rate for their opponents. But, Fred, I mean, you want to talk about the hype train across all sports media. Chris Collinsworth yesterday tweeted, quote, "I've called four Super Bowls. This one will be my fifth. The Patriots have been in every one." And then he ended with everyone's favorite phrase, "just saying." So even gross. Collinsworth is rolling with it.
Gross. Eric, go ahead. Not gross than the Patriots thing, just gross than just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying. Oh, shut up. Eric, go ahead. Eric, go ahead.
So here's my opinion. The Patriots, the last three out of four games, I think their opposing team hasn't had a starting quarterback from start to finish. I don't know how you can... Felger said it yesterday that he thinks that the Patriot defense is starting to look like a shutdown defense. Well, how can you do that when you're playing second and third string quarterbacks on the opposing team?
Oh, stop it. That Chargers game, they shut down one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. On top of that...
Sam Darnold played the whole game. They didn't even pull him.
I'm not saying that, you know, they're not a playoff contending team. I'm just saying that it's pretty hard to say that this team, especially the defense, is some kind of shutdown defense. When you play the Jets, you play the Browns. I know the Browns came off a big win last week, but that means nothing. When you lose a starting quarterback, it demoralizes the team.
The Browns and the Chargers were both good wins. Like, those are good wins against decent offenses.
Do you know the stats?
I think the
let down game.
Bro, look at the stats first before you make your comment, though.
But not Cleveland.
You're completely wrong.
It was 21-7 in the second quarter of that Cleveland game. One touchdown changes.
Yeah, and they didn't score. They stopped running the football like idiots. The first drive, they get 58 yards, and they never went back to it. And making these comments is so stupid. Look up the numbers. Justin Herbert threw for 51%. That's not good. Like, that sucks. Sam Darnold went 48%. Baker Mayfield was 52%. So look at the damn stats. The stats alone say the Patriots defense is good. You came in here and say the backups in there? You didn't watch the game.
48% is crap, and it's a fake number. They started out...
Oh, how about 172 yards? How about 73 yards? How about 223 yards? Two interceptions. 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 Turnovers. That's what they're doing.
Second against...
Yeah, against what? You play the games that are on the schedule. Can you give the team a little bit of credit when they win? And if it's against the Jets, I'll say they dropped 54 against the Jets.
Wilson was for the Jets. You're talking about crappy quarterbacks.
Okay, give me a team in the league that's doing well then.
Zach only got to play a quarter, let's be honest.
No, let's be honest here. Actually, you got to bring up the Titans? Oh, they got that great running game.
Hey,
yeah,
Eric,
they're pulling out wins, but like they can't run the football.
Eric, how'd they do against Tom Brady?
Well, they did crappy.
They didn't do crappy.
Tom Brady didn't have a great game, and I'm not going to use that single game as some kind of comparison.
And it had nothing to do with the Patriots defense. Nothing.
Because I would think – no, I didn't say that either. But I can say this, that if the Buccaneers and the Patriots play again, do you think Tom Brady has the same kind of game that he had the first time? Absolutely not.
Actually, right now, the Bucs suck right now.
Yeah, but they sucked last year.
That's my favorite narrative.
No. Just, no, real quick. Yeah. Give the Patriots credit.
Yes.
I want to be the first guy to nitpick them. Right now, that defense, They got Christian Barmore's the best defensive lineman technically in the league right now, the way the statistics go. Like, Kyle Duggar was a second-round pick from Lorne, wherever the hell he went to school.
No, we've known about Duggar for a while.
No, but what I'm saying is they're getting contributions from everybody.
Yeah, I think that, like, we're getting mixed messages here. I always thought this was a playoff team, and I thought it would be, especially after all the money they spent, a disappointment not to make the playoffs. And they're 6-4, and they'll make the playoffs. I shouldn't have brought it up because no one here has said it. I should have waited until someone said it.
Yeah, because,
but I mean, people were like really dancing around on other shows yesterday.
Yeah, on our show, as I said, our expectation, we said it yesterday, was I want them to be competitive in a playoff game. That's really it. But, you know, not to say that I'm looking at the AFC, and I don't know if there's any one team that you can say is definitely better than the Patriots. I don't think that, you know, just taking a look at their body of work, that they're going to be able to go far in the playoffs, but could they beat almost anyone? Sure.
I find it very difficult to believe that they could beat Buffalo in the playoffs.
Well, the Buffalo one's going to be interesting.
And just because they lost to Jacksonville, but, dude, I mean, Tennessee lost to the Jets. I mean, these things happen. It's a 17-game season. Well, the Patriots lost to Miami. I mean, it's...
But that was at the beginning of the year before they had played
all right,
together.
Well, as I said, it's
all about the trajectory, and it's all about them.
But the trajectory for Mac Jones is that he was their passing offense was in the 20s. Until last week.
He is right now the 11th ranked quarterback in the league if you look at statistics. And at third down, it's insane.
And that is because of the way he played on Sunday. Before that, he was in the 20s.
Well, his completion percentage has been excellent.
Well, I will agree. He takes what defense is
doing. Patriots traded Stephon Gilmore because of the way that they played against Tom Brady. They had a couple of struggle games trying to get back in, and lately, their last three games, they've held all of these quarterbacks, who were number one picks, by the way.
Yeah, all right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.